الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. For each particular time and place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that which He has written, and we are essentially subjects to what He has written. This is somewhat interesting. I had in my mind maybe an hour before I came here, and sometimes days before, I will plot out in my mind exactly what I want to talk about. I don't usually write a talk. I don't usually make notes, maybe just minor notes sometimes, but at least in my mind I have mapped out that, you know, I'd like to talk about this topic or this particular issue I feel is important or has come up that particular week. And all the way up until about an hour, you know, before, maybe probably even until 6:30, 6:45, I had an idea in my mind completely mapped out that I want to talk about this and that. The derivative of that point is this, and this is an important thing that we need to take home from that message, from the entire lesson. And then I was sitting down, actually. I had the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recently complete a very big project, not complete, but partially complete, a very big project that I was working on. And I was sitting down and I was just talking over with someone, how many people were involved and how this project would not have even been able to get this far unless each of these people was involved. And I was listing the people and I was saying, and this person helped, and person X helped. And then someone asked me that, what do you mean person X helped? Person X that doesn't have any expertise in this field and didn't do anything. I said, well, but this person one day helped this way. So all of the people who in any way, shape, or form helped, they started coming to my mind. You're not going to understand what I'm saying because I'm being very vague. I'll give you another example, which is a much better example. Maybe 5-7 years ago, Sheikh Zulfikar, he held a very unique gathering in California. Maybe 7 years ago, I don't remember the exact date. But he came for one whole week. I mean, he came for longer than 1 week, but he dedicated 1 week to do something called a Foundations of Faith or Foundations of Fiqh. I always think of it as Foundations class, where he gathered together the ulama from America, about 40, 50 ulama from America, and then some people who don't know as much, me and a few other people, we just tagged along. But his focus really was on the ulama, and we were just kind of there watching the event. And he gathered them all together, and the purpose of this course, he designed this course, and the purpose of the course was to instill within the ulama the tradition that they should be attached to, the tradition that they should be guided by. Because even the scholars require reminders, and we all require reminders, we're all human beings. So the goal was to remind the scholars of the foundations of the deen. Not that they necessarily need reminding, but it's a beneficial gathering to get people together and we all remind ourselves, each other, about the foundations of the deen. So he gathered together these 40 ulama, and there was a reader, there was a reciter. The reciter was a very, very top mufti in America. He was the one reciting the book. They would recite a few lines of the book, and then Sheikh Zulfikar would be sitting, the mufti would be sitting, reciting, and every time the mufti would recite a few lines, Sheikh Zulfikar would listen, he would say stop. And whenever he wanted to stop him, then he would make a commentary. And the commentary was so deep. It's actually a recorded series, and I think it's available on thesawwaf.org for free, just to listen to, download. But it's very, very deep, very deep. Sometimes you can just listen to a few lines, and it will take you for months. Just so much you can learn in that set. Anyway, so the mufti would read, and then Sheikh Zulfikar would stop him. And then the mufti would read, and then Sheikh Zulfikar would stop him. Okay, so anyway, he would read, and then Sheikh Zulfikar would stop him, etc. Now, I remember a few very funny things from the course. I remember one line that I always use with my students when I teach. Actually, not, I don't have the tawfiq to teach those types of courses, but I teach medical school. So one of the funny things that he said in the very beginning of the course, he said, this is the course, this is the background of the course. And he said that, and there will be an exam at the end of the course. There will be an exam at the end of the course. And then he read, the Mufti was reading, because it was written in the manual of the course, which was like the text, the course notes. It said, and you will have to work very hard to fail. Now, normally every teacher would say what? You will have to work very hard to pass, right? Or you will have to work very hard to get an A. But subhanAllah, this is the Islamic teaching, right? You will have to work very hard to fail. Yani, you will have to try to shoot yourself in the foot and actually, you know, want to fail this course. Same thing with the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats us on the Day of Judgment. You know, in deen, you have to work very hard to fail. You make wudu, wudu wipes away your sins. You pray prayer, prayer wipes away your sins. You pray jummah, jummah wipes away your sins. You make a lifetime worth of mistake, hajj wipes away your sins. You make tawbah, wipes away your sins. You have to try. You have to try to not receive the mercy of Allah. I mean, you enter into Ramadan, it wipes you clean. I mean, how many opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. The only way to get to Jahannam is to try to go to Jahannam. You have to take yourself and force yourself into Jahannam, almost. That's the extent of the way the deen is, the foundations of the deen. And so, you know, every teacher in my life has said, you'll have to work very hard to do well. Nobody has ever said to me, you have to work very hard to fail. Yet, I remember, and that's why I remember that line so vividly in my mind. You have to make every effort possible if you want to fail. Okay, that was one important thing, and that's the initial part of the course. And then there's one thing I remember from the very end of the course. At the very end of the course, Sheikh Zulfikar called the people who were helping with the course into the room. Now, you know, there were the course attendees, who were all the ulama, and then there were the people who were helping, you know, just making sure that the course went smoothly. So he called them all into the room. And he said that there's going to be an exam at the end of this course. And after the exam, we're going to hand out awards to all of the attendees. And then he looked at us and he said, you have to come up with one award for each person. It doesn't matter what, you have to come up with one award for each person, and you have to make some excuse that there be some award for everybody. Some aspect of that person has to be rewarded. So we started thinking that how can we reward everybody? You can say, okay, you were the top in the class, you were the second in the class, you were third in the class, you were the one who read in the class, but you can't reward everyone. So we made a list that, okay, like this was the top in the class, he was second top in the class, he was third top in the class, these were the top 10 in the class, this was the person who read in the class, this was the person who set up the class, this was the person who organized the class, this was the person who sent out the flyers about the class. We made a whole list. Then somebody took it to Sheikh Zulfikar and he started looking, and obviously you could not include everybody in the list. Maybe we had included 20 for awards and the other 20 we couldn't figure out how to award. So he said that, okay, he was the heaviest in the class. Give him one award for that. He's looking at the names. Then he said that he was the most smiling in the class. I remember that he smiled the most in the class, so give him one award. Then he said that, this one was the tallest in the class. You didn't give him an award. So one by one, everybody got covered. And then I started thinking, actually it didn't hit me until today, when I was having this discussion with that person, that subhanAllah, that scene that's still embedded in my brain, is ajib how these things pop up out of nowhere. That's exactly the scene of the Day of Judgment. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make every excuse to put somebody in Jannah. Every excuse to put somebody in Jannah. Now you know the extremes of it. The one famous example that we've mentioned multiple times that comes in hadith, where there was a woman who basically was selling herself, yet on one occasion she saw a dog that was thirsty and she got the water for the dog and gave it to the dog, and that was sufficient to put her into Jannah. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seek a reason to reward every person that has any ounce of sincerity within them. This is the beauty of our deen. And this is the way by which our scholars and our mashayikh and our elders, this is the way that they understood the deen. I remember on one occasion I was sitting in a talk of Sheikh Zulfikar, and also I read this in hadith as well, that on the day of the extremity of Allah's mercy on the Day of Judgment, how He will make any excuse to reward each and every person. On the Day of Judgment, two people will be brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. two people who were basically sinners. They'll be brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them will be banished to the hellfire. Both will be banished to the hellfire. After being banished to the hellfire, one of them will hear the pronouncement of Allah that you are banished to the hellfire, and he will start running towards the hellfire. Running, just as fast as he can towards the hellfire. And another one will hear the pronouncement of Allah, of Allah's being, banishing him to the hellfire, and will drag his feet and look back. And then will walk forward and then look back. And then drag his feet and then look back. So both of these people will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be asked of the first one, that you were banished to the hellfire, so why did you run? So that person will say, oh Allah, I spent my whole life disobeying you. I thought that at least I could close out this circumstance by obeying your command that I should run to the hellfire. So you said go to the hellfire, so I ran as fast as I can to obey your command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that person and puts them into Jannah. For some excuse, puts that person into Jannah. Then the second person is asked, that, you know, you were banished to the hellfire, you dragged your feet, you looked back, you dragged your feet, you looked back, you dragged your feet, you looked back. So, you know, why? So that person will say that, ya Allah, you banished me to the hellfire, but your mercy is so overwhelming that I was walking towards the hellfire thinking maybe you might call me back from your mercy. Then I walked forward, then I looked back thinking you might call me back from your mercy. Then I walked forward, then I looked back thinking you might call me back from your mercy. And then based on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, my mercy overrides my wrath, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put that person into Jannah as well. So this is the extent of the excuses that will, literally the excuses that will be made on the Day of Judgment to put people into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Jannah. This is what our mashayikh, they taught. They found any excuse to reward each and every individual. And we should be the same. We should be so cognizant of any assistance or help that anybody has given us, and we should be thankful for it. You know, you're in a difficult situation. It's very easy. It's very easy when you're in a difficult situation to go and say, can you make dua for me? But it's very, once that difficult situation ends, how many people remember to go back and say, thank you for making dua for me? I mean, I would say that if 20 people come, that's not 20, let's say 100 people come and request that I'm in this difficult situation, can you make dua for me? I would say, of those 100, 5 people come back to me and say, my situation alleviated itself. Just even come back and tell you that the situation got better. Most people don't even do that. And how many people say, Jazakallah, for the dua that you made? No, nobody says that. Very few. Illa mashallah. Very, just a handful. We are people who are cognizant of each and every effort that a person makes. We recognize that effort and we thank each person for that effort. Why? Because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also recognize our efforts. So we recognize, we make every excuse we can to find a reason to recognize the goodness in people. Everybody has goodness in them. And when this type of attitude develops in a Muslim, then it makes their life so easy, because even if they could find 10 mistakes in a person, they'll find 100 good things in that person. You know, a husband and wife can easily find each other's mistakes, or they can easily find each other's good points. It depends on how they want to look at life. If they want to look at life criticizing each other all the time and criticizing all the people around them, they'll just sit and find each other's mistakes all day. But if they learn to overlook the mistakes and instead find the good within one another, then they'll be much more successful and happy. For the same way that we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our 50 mistakes and accept the one good deed that we did, we should also be willing to overlook the 50 mistakes of other people and accept the few good deeds that they do. But anyway, this is a very important lesson. It's, Ajib, you know how life teaches you lessons and how it paints pictures in your mind, and sometimes you don't appreciate that picture until many, many, many years later. I would say that, you know, that picture was so vividly painted in my mind, but I never thought about it this way. Until I was sitting down and thinking myself that, you know, I just finished this project. How many people actually assisted and how I've been able to do it if this person didn't do this and this person didn't do this and this person didn't make dua? And I'm sitting and thinking, this person made dua. I remember this person made dua. I remember this person made dua. I remember I was thinking and I was making a list and I was saying that, you know, I even remember that I randomly bumped into one of my relatives. A relative of my wife. I randomly bumped into a relative of my wife, and That person said, you know, how is your project going? They knew I was working on this project day and night because they're in the family, so they saw what was going on. So they, so I said, oh, there's still, this is a killer. You know, there's still a lot left. This is not some small fish. You know, this is some big thing. It's really, really a lot of work. And they said, oh, but once you're done, it'll just be easy after. It'll all be downhill after that because you'll spend your whole life just making small changes and improving it. You know, and so I remember that couple words was sufficient enough to push me that night to be able to do something, you know, because when you have such a heavy load on your shoulders, when you're carrying, trying to do something so big, it weighs you down. It weighs you down. It's almost impossible to do by yourself. Then I started thinking that subhanAllah, even those words, you know, I should thank that person. I'm making a mental list in my mind. I said, I should even thank that person for those words. Because even if they didn't recognize what an effect it had, it certainly had an effect. And even if it didn't have an effect, it was still a positive. It was still a push forward rather than a push backward. So we should be, if we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept what little we've done, I mean, our deeds are paltry in the end. But we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept them. So we should also be accepting and willing of the in the case of the deeds of others. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those whose some deed is accepted and rewarded by Him. And may He make us among those who are overlooking of others' mistakes and accepting of the of whatever good they have to offer. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.